tell me about the protest at the Millers Point public housing property on the 5th of August, earlier this month.
Yes, well, that was organised so as to let the public know that there were over 100 empty properties in Millers Point. And with the countless number of homeless people and the waiting list escalating, we wanted to bring that out in public.
Absolutely. On Saturday, there were four men arrested by the police from the protest. Can you tell us about the treatment of how these men, the treatment of those arrested?
Yes. Well, actually, it was on a Sunday evening. And we were negotiating with the local command group of police. And we told them what our intentions were. And it was a peaceful protest. We were occupying the property so as we could bring it to the attention of the public. And they set about trying to inform and get direction from their chiefs, but no one seemed to be answering. So we said, well, look, you leave us here overnight. We will have our media conversations and we will peacefully leave. And it seemed to be going all right. And then all of a sudden the commander says, look, he says, there's a decision being made, he said, that the riot squad will be coming along. He said, I will not have any say over what they do, and they will give you a 10-minute warning and then forcibly remove you.
I spoke with Prabha, a community activist who only wanted to reveal his first name on the radio. He was arrested on the night of the 6th of August protest. Run me through, when you were arrested on the 6th of August, earlier this month, how long did the police hold you?
Well, they held us for quite a while. And part of the reason they held us is they took so long to break in to the empty place, right? So they were holding us while they were trying to break in. But what they did, they were quite aggressive. I was sore, and I know Peter was, for a couple of days afterwards. But what they also did is when they got us out of sight, I know myself, they bent my wrist over to be in sharp pain. I was not resisting at all at the time. They did that about three times.
One of the reasons why the state government is selling off all this property right now is that property prices are through the roof in Sydney and in parts of New South Wales.
Yeah.
But isn't it a good thing for the government to sell it off at this time to get to reap a maximum amount of money for these properties so they can put it into building more properties?
But the point is, I guess, they're not building more properties. So that is just, it's actually a straight out lie. They're actually slashing the amount of public housing. So it's simply not true that they're building extra public housing. They're actually cutting it off. And there was actually an article that in the first 4 months of last year, they sold $54 million worth of public housing, not including the ones they sold off in Millers Point and Glebe. So that's in areas like Parramatta, Fairfield, Granville, Hurstville, Greenacre, Canley Vale. So they're selling it off across the state. They're building some extra ones, but not as much as they're selling off. So absolutely, the amount of public housing is being reduced. And another point I'd like to make is it's kind of a disingenuous argument to say you're selling off public housing in one part of the place to build it elsewhere. Because if you're committed to public housing, you won't sell it off in the city and build it out in the west. You'll keep it there and you'll build extra housing in the west. Now, think about what it would mean in the public hospital sphere if they said the same thing. If they said, look, we want to build new public hospitals in the west, which they need. But to do that, we have to sell off RPA and St. Vincent's. You know, that would be crazy.
Peter Muller, who was evicted earlier this year from his Millers Point residence. Now, has the government taken steps to properly rehouse you after you were evicted from the Millers Point property?
Oh, absolutely not. They had no interest in it. They seemed to think, no, you're working, you're above the threshold. The fact that I'd been working was never an issue.
What does your future look like now after you've been evicted from the residence?
Well, I was forced out of my residence. I was evicted about 3 months ago. I've been sort of living out of my car for sleeping in my car three nights a week to meet my work commitments down here in Sydney. The rest of the time, I do try and sort of couch surf with friends in the neighbourhood, but there is no sort of long-term future if it has been arranged or anything like that. As far as they're concerned, well, you're earning money. You can find your own place if you're not on Centrelink benefits. I mean, they just don't seem to think. It doesn't matter what sort of a low income you are. Apparently, I've earned too much money to be on a public housing tenant now, and I don't earn enough money to be eligible for affordable housing.
Would you be able to tell our audience how much on average you make per year?
On average, it's been working out a little over 36,000, sometimes 40,000.
The Millers Point Action Group, yeah. Where do you guys head from here?
Oh, okay. Well, this struggle is really not just about Millers Point. It's about public housing everywhere. The thing about the Millers Point struggle is it has contributed so much to the struggle for public housing across the state and across the country, because that struggle started in 2009, actually, with a protest in the city, actually against Tanya Plibersek when she was housing minister. And I was actually involved in that protest. And it's continued for 8 years. And there's been protests outside auctions in Wollongong and Bulambi and Bulai, and there's been actions in Auburn and Parramatta and then in Waterloo. So what the Millers Point struggle has done is, by the determination and courage of the Millers Point people, it has inspired others to fight harder.